Welcome to this week's episode of the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I'm Natalie Ross, your hostess, and this week's guest is witch Carolyn Elliott, and we get into real talk about how to create a persona for yourself in your esoteric or spiritual business. And these practices and principles can apply to anyone in business, but I thought it would be especially helpful for all of my beloved healers and intuitives who do things for people that are so powerful and beneficial, but that aren't necessarily tangible, to have some information about how to really set yourself up as that expert in something, and how to share your story, and how to market yourself and actually reach people and help them and also make money at the same time. So we've had Carolyn on the show before, episode 54, and she's a great teacher of practical magic, and her secret episode from episode 54 is really fun, and we did another one today. So I hope that you enjoy this conversation, and if you really enjoy Carolyn, then go check out the episode 54 and also check out the secret episodes we've done and check out her courses. And I want to extend a huge, happy, grateful thank you to our latest Patreon supporter. Thank you, Ilka Oster, for your pledged support on patreon.com/dreamfreedombeauty. And for anyone who's listening who wants to say thank you, for show some gratitude for what you've experienced or learned or how this show has helped you, you can share an episode with a friend, write a review on iTunes, post it on Facebook or Instagram, or come leave us a comment and say thank you. Or if you want to share some cash money, you can share over at patreon.com/dreamfreedombeauty. And now for the show. I hope you enjoy this interview. Welcome back to the show, Carolyn. It's awesome to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Natalie. Awesome to be here.
So, do you want to lead us and our listeners on an invocation?
Yes, I do. So, I want everybody just to take a deep breath and get kind of still within yourself. And very, very gently, I want to invite you to think of a time when it felt like your life was a movie. Like, it could have just been a few days or a few months, but things were really flowing and they felt epic somehow. And in that epicness, you maybe became aware of a dimension of yourself that you previously hadn't let yourself be aware of. I sort of just want to take you on a deep, deep breath into that feeling of being a part of a story and the excitement of that story and the torment of that story. And think also about a time when you were touched by a story that changed you. You heard about somebody else's experience, whether it was a real person or a fictional character, and something about going through their journey with them, whether it was through a book or through a film, altered the way that you live your life. And let's just kind of feel that power of transformation and story as kind of a golden heat that radiates around us. And we may not be feeling so epic lately, but that golden heat is going to light up that giant mythological quality within us and bring it to the forefront. Okay. So that's it. Just want to be present in that golden light of epic power.
Awesome. I'll take it. Thank you, Carolyn. That was nice. like hanging out in Big Sur, and it's amazing in my mind in this meditation.
Yes, certainly a cinematic backdrop.
Yeah, epic story. So what, you know, a lot of people loved the last time you came on the show, and they loved hearing about your offerings to Jupiter in the secret episode, and they loved your just shamelessness and your message about, like, whoa, who needs shame? So it's great to have you back, and I wonder if you want to just give us a quick sharing of what's really got your attention these days. What's really interesting to you right now?
Oh, wow. Excellent question. Well, I'm working on my expanded version of my influence course right now, the course on practical magic that I teach, which you are in, Natalie.
It's awesome. Highly recommend it. Worth every penny and more.
Yay. And so I'm actively writing these lessons. So I'm thinking a lot these days about alchemy, because I wrote the last lesson on the way that people like to say, it's common to say in like New Age circles, like, oh, it's alchemy. It's an alchemical transformation. People will just say that about anything. And I like that. I like to hear that, but I don't like the vagueness. So I've really been trying to think as precisely as possible about how is a process of emotional or psychological transformation analogous to actual alchemical processes that were classically done with plants or metals? And so I've been learning a lot about the separation of the soul, the spirit, and the body. You know, solve a coagula is the basic alchemical formula. So how are those dissolved, and how are they brought together again into a new form, the coagula? Mm. Yes. And what's also interesting, also what I'm thinking a lot about is I'm about to teach another round of my Thrill course, which is about creating an online business, creating an online audience that's really thriving and big and sustainable. And it's fascinating to me because I kind of think of influence as the internal work and thrill as the external work of this sort of magical transformation. And people take thrill who haven't taken influence, and that's totally cool. Sometimes people will end up taking both because they kind of do really complement each other. But in some ways, thrill is more hardcore than influence, because in influence, it's like, you know, I'm showing you how you can do shadow integration and how you can overcome various blocks that you've had and become actually open to new levels of receiving, which is something that you can do like quietly, you know, at your own pace, it's totally privately if you want. But thrill is all about being public. Mm. So I do teach an element of shadow integration and thrill, which is pretty important to it. But it's kind of like with thrill, I think it's more hardcore because it's like the proof is in the pudding. Like if you're really doing this work and really integrating and accepting new parts of yourself and transmitting that for others to receive and be transformed by, sort of like we did in our little invocation at the start, it's either going to work or it's not. Evidence will be, you know, very public. So, you know, once again, in influence, we also prove things with our spell work and stuff like that. But it's sort of like, if something doesn't happen, you know, nobody knows about it. But with thrill, when you're building an audience and building a business, one of the things that's so daunting about it is that it is all out in the open. And I've had many times when I've tried things and they failed and I've fallen flat on my face and the whole world has witnessed it, or, you know, you know, the whole little niche world that was paying attention to me at the moment. It's edgier. There's a dimension there where it's like, whoo, this is intense. But I've been thinking a lot about the way that in that edginess is so much of part of the way that I have experienced magic in my life the past few years since I've been doing this work of being public. And I've been reflecting a lot about how, you know, there's so many dimensions of online business. And, you know, one of them is the technical dimension. How do you set up things like webinars and email autoresponders or editing podcasts or doing all of these things. And I think there's a tendency for people to think like, oh, that's the hard part, like figuring all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is pretty tough. Like, it's a definite learning curve there. But I think what's even harder and what stops a lot of people from even attempting that learning curve is the fear of being seen and felt and known.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason that I call my course Thrill is because there's like a frisson, like a sexy, like electric buzz that happens when you are being public and presenting yourself and your ideas and your story in such a way that people can really feel you and really experience like kind of the distillation of your energy and receive it and be changed by it. And I get so annoyed because I see a lot of people doing things in online business, and I guess they're working for them or else they wouldn't be doing them, but they're boring. Like,
there's no thrill.
There's no thrill. And it's like, I'm somebody who's actively, you know, I'm super willing to buy courses. I'm super willing to learn things. But a lot of people tend to present their stuff in kind of like a dry, informational way, or mm-hmm. like glossy, like here's a picture of a lady with a, I don't know, pretty stationary kind of way.
Right. With like, a camera and a latte.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. And it just doesn't do anything for me. And I, at least my experience has been that the more kind of, how do I say this? I want to, I'm trying to describe something without using sort of words like vulnerability and authenticity. Those words, what they actually mean is wonderful, but people, once again,
overused.
Like, overused.
Yeah.
So, But basically what I'm trying to talk about is being present with people in a way and telling my story in a way that I'm really letting parts be seen that I really would not, I would rather not have to tell people about.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when I first started out, I remember I was really obsessed with appearing professional, and I was really worried that nobody would ever take me seriously as a professional, because, you know, I'm just this like strange, eccentric person. And man, so
did you get dressed up in a pretty pink dress with a big bobbly necklace and like an umbrella and prance around some pretty town?
Oh, you know what, I never even got that far.
You never got that?
No, I never got that far with myself.
I mean, just and if that's someone's game, go for it. But it's
yeah. No, I never got that far, but I would just, you know, I was just trying to like look like I had my shit together, and
right.
like I knew, and that is an element. I mean, if you're just sort of a giant throbbing mess, people won't want to buy things from you. They're going to want to help you.
They're going to want you to pay them to help you.
Yeah, exactly. So there is an art to it. There is a way in which like it's important to present things, you know, as lessons learned rather than like active meltdowns necessarily. But even if my lessons learned, I didn't want to share them because they were like, so there was still a part of me that was ashamed of them, mm-hmm. and a part of me that wanted to not be. And I'm speaking in sort of general terms, but maybe I'll speak in more precise terms, which was I was so ashamed that when I first started coaching and building my online audience, I was ashamed that I was like in my late 20s and had like no money at all because I'd been a PhD student in English, which, you know,
so lucrative.
Yeah, exactly. I had no financial success, and my personal life was also not really a stunning track record. Like I'd met a guy, fell in love, and decided to get married 4 months into knowing him, and then left him on our wedding night. And it had been a big wedding with like friends and family and 7 flower girls and this
wow.
whole thing. And, you know, I left him on the wedding night because in the stress of preparing for the wedding, I gradually realized he was kind of schizophrenic. And
kind of, wow.
Yeah, I say kind of because he can do a pretty good job of not appearing schizophrenic when he's not under stress. But he was definitely, you know, ranting about killing all Jewish people and very strange conspiracy theories and Illuminati and all of this stuff. And I was like, wow, I cannot be married to you and I can't be in the same bed with you. Yeah. But I was afraid to cancel the wedding because all the balls were all in motion. And I was just like paralyzed with like, this was, it was so strange. It was like this person I'd been in love with suddenly was like almost like demonically possessed kind of thing.
Wow.
So it really stunned me. And anyway, so after I left him on our wedding night, I was in this like super deep, dark depression and super embarrassed and super ashamed of myself, which I now realize, alchemically speaking, is a phase called calcination. So calcination is like a burning up of the material that you're working with. So if you're working with herbs, calcinating the herbs is like burning them to ash.
And a lot of my listeners are familiar with herbalism, and they do spagyrics, which they can relate. You know, this is all connected, just so the listeners can like connect the dots here in case they haven't, with spagyrics and alchemy.
Do spagyrics. Wow, that's so cool. Okay. So it was a calcination of, and my ego was really burned up, you know, like previous to that wedding incident, even though I was broke, I was still sort of like a respectable PhD kind of person. But then I was very obviously not respectable. And once again, like a giant mess. And this was all part of my story. And even after I recovered from that and was like beginning to build my presence online as a coach, I still really, you know, I really didn't want that to be known. And also what I really didn't want to be known was that I love money and I want more of it. And I love power and I want more of it. I didn't want anybody to know that. And I thought, you know, that I had to hide it from them somehow.
Right. You get just secretly make a lot of money, but, you know, don't show it. It's not safe. Da 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 da.
Definitely don't act like I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so all of these like layers upon layers of hiding. And what was interesting is even as I had these, oh, and another big layer of hiding I had was that all my life I've been into magic, but I didn't think it was okay to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, just try to phrase things in more psychological terms or other ways.
Right.
And not talk about like weird witchy stuff. So as long as I was doing that, I had the experience of, you know, some people liked my articles and my whatnot, but pretty much nobody cared. Like I was not doing a good job of magnetizing an audience or getting people interested, which in retrospect makes a ton of sense because I myself, was not willing to be seen and felt in all of the money, power, loving, messed up wedding having dimensions of that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I gradually, as I became willing to, and magic loving, importantly, and I gradually became willing to just put that all out there. And wouldn't you know, when I did that, I wrote an article called Seven Traits of Highly Magical People. And it was shared like 50,000 times. And
great article.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it really took off. And in that article, I just sort of put down everything that I knew to be true about myself and the kind of people that I like to be around who are magical people. And it really resonated. It really struck a chord, which was very surprising to me because it was all this stuff that I thought that nobody wanted to hear about or that was like too, you know, uncool and Renaissance festival velour stuff. Yes.
So which is cool too if you're into that, but you know, it doesn't have to look like that.
It's also totally cool. But I had these are the negative judgments that I had about magic and how people would perceive it or perceive me talking about it.
Yeah.
I can totally get down with velour and Renaissance festivals.
Me too. Just saying.
Maybe I'm rambling a little bit here, but that's kind of the essence of what I try to teach people is the whole process of putting things out there and putting even more out there than you're really comfortable putting out there, and accepting parts of yourself that you maybe haven't yet accepted yet, because it's usually those parts of ourselves that we're not totally cool with that are actually the compelling parts about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love, so the way, one thing I really appreciate about what you do is, you know, even you've just kind of taken us on this like fast track story right here in your writing and in the way you communicate with people online and through your courses. You don't just take the vague, authentic thing or just accept its alchemy. You go so deep and detailed and get intricate and rearrange it in such a way and spit it all back out that people can understand it. And then people, when they read your story, they can feel it. And I think that's what, I mean, honestly, that's what attracted me to you. I was like, damn, this girl, she is like owning her shit. And it's so refreshing. Like, who would think it's refreshing to see someone else's shit being owned, you know, like.
Yes. Thank you, Natalie. Yeah. Well, and I think that's also an important part of what I try to teach people who take Thrill, is that, you know, whenever you're doing coaching or doing any kind of service like tarot card reading or astrology readings or spell casting or, you know, the variety of one-on-one services that you can do for people over the internet, there is a component of like, you need to know your subject matter. You need to know what you're communicating and offering, but it is also really important. Like you said, like what you found was interesting was the way that that was, that I communicated, which I communicate filtered through my experience, mm-hmm. and, condensed through my experience. So that kind of experiential, like taking people down into the brass tacks, is also something that, yeah, is just hugely important, and that I get hugely annoyed when people don't do that for me. You yeah. know, if I'm taking a course and somebody is talking at a very high level of abstraction and not telling me how to directly apply it, I mean, it's not necessarily that I get annoyed, but I'm just like, oh, geez, now I have to figure this out myself again.
Yeah. 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 And that's something, you make it so hands-on. You're like, all right, here's the concept. Now here's the steps. Go do it. And so in Thrill, actually, before I go there, I want to say I feel the same way, because I'm a gardener, and I used to always hear, just add more organic matter. And I was like, this just can't be right. And that, I needed the details, so I went and got a master's degree in soil science. So I totally get it. Like,
yes, yeah, exactly. Being, and that's so cool. And that's, so now you would be able to give people those details, right? Like if you yeah. decide to teach a class on organic gardening, you wouldn't be giving those sort of lame platitudes about just add more organic matter.
Right. I'm like, there's a whole world of nutrients down here, y'all, and they do crazy shit. But that's for another day. So what, when you sit down to write, like, where do you start? And is this something that you teach in Thrill? Is it like, all right, guys, gals, mostly gals probably, think of the most fucked up thing you've ever done and write about it. Is that like
no, that's not, although that should, I should make that a writing prompt actually in the course. At the time that I got my little brother to eat pickle juice mixed with ranch dressing, and I told him that our parents would die if he didn't do it.
That's awesome.
That was the most fucked up thing I ever did. I was only like 6 in my defense, but anyways.
Already twisted.
He's okay now. My brother is okay now. but the way that I lead folks into it has to do with what, you know, also what I started out with the invocation about, which is really starting to see yourself as the hero or the heroine of a story. Because most of us, I think, you know, we're living our lives. And obviously, when you go to see a movie or you read a novel, you're reading a very highlighted version of somebody's story. So like the exciting parts, the the low parts, the high parts. When you're just living your life, there's all these, you know, boring moments where you're just like sitting around, watching Netflix, sitting in traffic, brushing your teeth, going to bed. You know, It's very easy for us to not, to feel very mundane and not very epic. So what I do have prompts and have ways of showing people how to do is selecting the moments from their life that have really formed who they are today and have really impacted, you know, what the service that they offer and how they offer it and what it means. And I think a really, and I show people how to write about those moments and present them in such a way that people can really feel the emotional resonance there. So I think a great example of one of my past course participants who did this is Amanda Yates Garcia, the Oracle of Los Angeles, which she was having trouble getting attention for her work, as so many people who are very, even, you know, very skilled and talented people have this problem of how do I summon attention?
Right.
And she took Thrill and she started writing about her story, and the way that her story informs the work that she does, which she actually leads people through magical rituals and does divination and a bunch of other cool things. She started writing about that and it got like such a huge response just on Facebook. Like suddenly people were paying attention to her in a way that had never happened before, when she was just like, here's my thoughts about this tarot card or something. You know? And I'm pretty sure that's part of her autoresponder now when you join her email list. But the thing is that when this is also something that I like to try to emphasize to everybody is that, especially when you're selling a one-on-one service or you're selling, you know, teaching a course, people are buying the service and they're buying, you know, the information that you're teaching, but they're also buying you and, you know, who you are and what you believe in and what you've done and how you've lived those beliefs. And if you can dramatically, beautifully show them that, that you, the story of you, the character of you, the protagonist that you are, then people want to hear more about the information that you have, where they want the service that they have, and they want it from you. Like, they don't want a tarot reading from any old person. They want it from you because you have this fascinating depth and character and energy, and they trust you. So, you know, it's an old adage in sales that people buy from who they know, like, and trust. And it's certainly true. And so then the question becomes like, well, if I'm trying to reach a ton of people at once, how do I invite that? How do I invite them to know me and like me and trust me? So that's the question that we work on answering in Thrill. And that's the question that I had to answer in my own business. And that's an ongoing question. And the interesting and scary thing about it, always, of course, is that when you share yourself in this way, some people are really going to like you. They're going to be like, yes, you know, she's my kind of person. I want to hop on that train and see where it takes me. And some people are going to be like, oh my God, how do I get away from this person as soon as possible? Like, this horrible individual is telling me these like awful things about herself. And I, you know, it's polarizing, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have people, I'm very blessed. You know, I have like wonderful, I'm connected to wonderful people like you, Natalie, and wonderful, you know, all of the other people who take my courses and that I work with. And, you know, it's really beautiful because I feel there's this very strong resonance where we understand each other. And like, I had a dinner with other influence participants in New York the other week when I was in New York, and like 13 people were able to join me. And it was just great. It was like being with old friends because we're really on that wavelength. But I also have, you know,
haters.
I have haters. I have like whole Facebook groups devoted to talking about how much I suck.
Oh my God.
definitely do, but I definitely have in the past. I mean, people get bored, I imagine, just talking about how much I suck. So they move on eventually. But then new ones spring up. You know?
Wow.
Like whenever, you know, because I'm a charlatan and I like money and I'm a witch. Yeah, I'm not. It's so funny. It's like actually you would think that maybe when I first started talking about magic online, I thought the worst persecution I might get might be from, I don't know, evangelical Christians or something. It's actually usually from other people who are into occult stuff who disagree with my way of being into occult stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And especially when something, you know, if you are out about liking money and wanting money and liking power, liking growing a big, you know, if you're out about liking that, if it didn't just like happen organically for you and you are like, no, actually, I intentionally grew this. I wanted it. I wanted the money. I wanted the power. I wanted a voice. Then it can be really, really off-putting to people who are like, oh, well, then it's not the real thing. It's not authentic if it didn't just happen organically. If it's so, I can see how there's, especially in the types of communities of people who might be listening to this, where it's like really taboo to want that and to say that and to own that.
Thank you, Natalie. Yes, it totally is. And this is, I love that you use that word taboo, because that, you know, I think I was sort of tempted to call thrill taboo. I love, that's what it is. And I felt the sensation. Like sometimes I don't feel the sensation as I'm talking about it, sort of because I'm so used to just hearing myself talk about it. But as you were talking about it, I was like, oh yeah, that's terrible. It's just like, ooh, I love it. Like that sensation there, it's, you know, it's a turn on. It's like, that's the frisson. And
what is this frisson? I am not familiar with this.
Yeah, so you know, I like to throw around French words. It's a French word.
I love my French people. I love you all.
Yes. It means like rubbing together.
Okay.
So like
friction.
Yeah. Okay. Friction. But it, you know, it's like sexy.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the fun thing is like, yeah, I was with good reason. I was totally afraid to let people know that about me. And as long as I was afraid to let that people know that about me, I wasn't really that able to be interesting because I just was constantly paranoid about people finding this out. So I had to hide it. So I had to bluff. So I had to gloss it over. So I had all these things.
Right.
And when I became willing to just be like, well, this is who I am. They're either going to be into it or they're not. And life just became simpler. And I began, you know, and the people who are able to feel that excitement and that turn on, be like, ooh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I like money and power too. I can go talk to this woman and hang out with her and learn from her. And she's not going to judge me for that.
Right. In fact, you might learn something and then you might even help each other.
Yeah, help each other. We make more money. We get more powerful. It's just a virtuous circle. Yeah. And I guess, so that's an important dimension. And for me, it's like that money and power piece is a big thing. For other people, you know, it could be some other piece. It could be some piece directly about sexuality. It could be some piece, you know, directly about just about anything. Like there's so
really
many.
Really anything, yeah.
Really anything. So one exercise that I do like to have people do, that I will be having people do in Thrill, and that, you know, folks listening right now, you may want to try, is make a list. Things I do not want people to know about me. And try to put down 25 items on that list. And then just sort of sit with that list for a while, like really take a look at it. And I'm not saying that in order to, you know, create an audience or, you know, have a thriving online business that you have to share every single one of those things and let people into like every gory thing about you.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is you need to be okay with them.
Yeah.
And that there may be at least, you know, two or three things on that list that if you did start talking openly about and telling stories about, it would really galvanize and magnetize people to you. Yes. And of course, then the whole process of like, well, how do I get okay with these things? That's a whole other story. And we talk about that. And I have processes that I teach people for that.
Right. And that's the alchemy. That is the alchemy of saying, okay, here's this stuff that I want to just remain hidden. That's really shitty about me. That makes me bad or taboo or unlovable or unworthy or whatever. And you go through those processes, which you will detail for your students. And then the other side, these actually become your assets. And you're like, oh, yeah, I got this vault of awesome things to pull out and share and like connect with people through and like grow with instead of keeping you held back.
Exactly, Natalie. That's the thing. That's the magic right there. And that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, so you're doing this with your podcast, like being present and being out there and public all the time. Like, it's in one sense, like you could say like, oh, that's such a worldly thing to do. Like, that's such a, you know, a materialistic thing to do, is cultivate attention and fame. Sure. It's also like, I just think it's like the most hardcore spiritual thing that I've ever done. Because it's so demanding in that there's always, there's always feedback. There's always energy that's coming towards you. And it's always a question of like, well, how am I going to handle this energy? Like, some days I can, you know, come across like my email would be filled with messages from people who just completely hate what I just said and want me to stop and are, you know, telling me what a horrible person I am.
Wait, but you somewhere love that, don't you?
Well, yes. So when I am very centered and when I am like able to like be with it, I'm like, oh, this is so hot. This is really care about it. I'm really like touching something in them. It's like, you know. There, I have those days. And then I have days where I'm just like, oh my God, they all hate me. You know, and then my husband would be like, no, honey, you're awesome. But it's, you know, there's ups and downs with it, but it is like a litmus test. And those days when I can receive that and know in my core that I'm doing the thing and it's happening and I'm doing it regardless of whether or not people like it or not, you know, that feeling, that kind of strength and clarity only has come from this process of being a public person.
And it feel the card that comes to mind from the tarot is the Temperance. It's like this process of going in and sharing and receiving the feedback and going in and sharing. That's so, like you said, it brings about the clarity of where do you really stand and what's really true. And, you know, it allows you so much, it's so much fodder for examination of what's true about you and reality. I mean, this is like business, and putting yourself out there is such a psychedelic spiritual trip, like no other.
Yes, exactly. It's psychedelic. It's, there's something very, you know, it's like if we all experience mirrors or reflections with our friends, our intimate associates.
Even the environment.
The environment, exactly. And then when you take it into cultivating an audience, suddenly you have thousands of mirrors of reflecting back, and it's super fractal, and it's super, you just described it so well, Natalie. Like,
thanks.
Exactly.
Inspired by you.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, so there's this huge energy there that opens up, and there's this huge, like, right now I'm, you know, I have this goal of having 100,000 people take my influence course. And that's my goal because I believe it's a wonderful course and that it positive, well, I know it positively changes people dramatically for the better, and I want 100,000 people to have that.
Question, do you have a timeline within which you want this to happen?
Oh, that is a good question. I don't have a timeline. I should make a timeline for the 100,000. Yeah. I mean, it's probably in the next 10 years, I guess, okay. is the internal timeline. I do have a definite timeline for where I want 1,000 people to take the next version, the next offering of it, which will be in September.
Cool.
But so as I'm contemplating this, because, you know, previously it's been like, I think the most I've had sign up for it at a time has been like 150, which is awesome. But that's not the same as 1,000 or 100,000.
Right.
So what I am working on myself is opening up to be the person who can receive and hold the energy of 1,000 people, 10,000, 100,000, you know, coming into this learning space with me and going on this journey with me.
Right. And the money power that comes with it.
Yeah, exactly. All the money, power, attention, opportunity, possibility that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And what's so interesting for me is, like, as I look at this, I have to ask myself the question of, like, okay, well, there must be some part of me that likes it just the way it is right now, because that's sort of where it's staying. It's like, I've had this goal for like a year and still it's kind of just been the same place. So I'm like, well, what, you know, I have to get really curious about that. Mm-hmm. And I can find all the ways that, like, you know, I don't want that much attention. I don't want that much money. I don't want that much possibility. I would rather have this smaller version of it. So my work right now, what I really need to do, what I've been really putting off doing, is getting into total approval, just about the place where it is right now and just completely reveling in it. That's really big. And I've not been doing that because I have this thing where I'm like, no, I need to, you know, the goal-oriented thing, which probably most all of us have. It's like, no, I need to push it. It needs to be bigger. It needs to be better. And I'm like, okay, well, first I need to get down with where it is right now. And it's also interesting to just take a look at the ways that I will sometimes not fully rise to the occasion of opportunities that are already present, you know?
Right. So,
yeah. So, like, there's this and what men getting really curious about, like, well, what do I believe about myself that makes me, you know, that drains my energy, so I don't feel like doing X, Y, and Z interview, you know, with somebody, not you, Natalie, you know, who's asked me for an interview and I somehow don't answer their email and I don't do it because I didn't feel like it. Why didn't I feel like it? Like, what was I believing? What was I thinking about myself and the world that caused me to push that away? So, you know, it gets into all these like nitty gritty things, and it is kind of like a never ending process.
Which is fun.
It is fun. It's mm-hmm. like the ongoing journey and the ongoing healing of the layers.
And so in these inquiries that you have, there's the inquiries that you have themselves. Like, this is such great fodder for you once you have that aha moment, once you do get to that total acceptance where you're just reveling in the bliss of where you're at and how it's perfectly serving you, then that becomes fodder for the next level of storytelling as you go on your journey. So it's like always, it's just so fractal, as you said, it's always feeding itself back and forth of like, okay, here's the process you have to go through, and then that's going to feed into the next level or the next step of the journey, like, woo.
Precisely, yes. And so this is what I really like about Thrill also, is that because I'm showing people how to do this kind of inside out storytelling communication type thing, is there are these endless possibilities for the development of the narrative, like as you are moving forward with your business, with your coaching, with your teaching. And something that I think about is, like, I know that there's people who are successful without doing like my method of doing this, you know, like people who have sales funnels and they get leads and they make it all happen and they do it in a way, like I said, that's totally uninteresting to me. And sometimes I get really curious. I'm like, well, how are they?
Yeah, totally.
feeling it. But, you know, that may just be forever a mystery to me. And what I can say about the way that we do it in Thrill is that I emphasize having my participants really come to embody something that I call a page turner persona. And I call it a page turner persona because it's based on this idea taken from, I read a book once that was about all of the great blockbuster novels of the 20th century. So like The Godfather, they also were turned into blockbuster movies, many of them, like The Godfather, Gone with the Wind. And the question that the book was asking was, you know, what did these particular novels have in common that made them so much more appealing to everybody than all of these other novels that were actually maybe even better written? And the answer was always that the novels had a main character who was fascinating in some way because of their flaws. So like Scarlett O'Hara is a bitch. She's really mean. She can be really petty, really like, you know, but she also has this like raging passion within her where she will do nothing. Like she will stop at nothing to get what she wants.
And sounds almost like someone that we know who runs our country.
Yes, exactly. Donald Trump. Yeah, not so great of a guy, but he's kind of like a train wreck that you can't stop, you know, looking at. And so there's something about this quality of like being willing to stop at nothing, like being having a determination and a force that is like a force of nature. I might start calling it force of nature instead of page turner persona. I don't know. Anyways, but truly like being a force of nature. And I do believe that like all of us have this force of nature dimension in us. And we all of us have these flaws within us. And I think part of the reason why we hold ourselves back from being really, from being forces of nature in the world is because we're afraid about our flaws getting bigger at the same time that our light gets bigger. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that that will never happen if you experiment with this way of doing things. Like, but the thing is if you're going into it with this non-dual perspective and this willingness to learn about yourself and this willingness to evolve, I think you will be better off than Scarlett O'Hara or, you know, any other tragic
right universe. Right, you're going in with tools to stay conscious through the process instead of just letting your unconscious continue to rule you and letting your so-called flaws continue to determine the situations and circumstances of your life. You're like actively engaging with them in a way that does bring you more fully into an awareness of that non-dual aspect of reality and of yourself. So it's really powerful.
Exactly. And I guess the difference is that, you know, just as you were talking right just right now, Natalie, it flashed into my mind that I guess the difference is that what I'm showing people how to do and what I try to do is, you know, you're both the character and the author. So you're both Scarlett O'Hara and Margaret Mitchell writing Gone with the Wind. So, you know, it's like you are, there is that dimension of like deliberately, consciously crafting, which is always present and always there. So yes, I guess the point of what I'm saying here is that I really want everybody listening to think about times when they've been unstoppable. Like think about times when like you've wanted something so much that nothing was going to keep you from having it. And how did that desire change you? How did the journey that that desire took you on change you? What did you learn from it? And what can you communicate based on it?
Mm-hmm. And I think this is really useful for the listeners. You know, we're not, Carolyn has a lot of really awesome stuff that is really connected to nature and to the cosmos and to the spirit world. But today we're getting really grounded and practical and like hands-on, because so many of the listeners are people who have service-based business that are in like, you know, more magic or spiritual things that don't have tangible results. And I think this is such useful stuff. Like this is I am naturally drawn to this kind of stuff I don't know why, I just am. I'm like, oh yeah, of course I want to write and grow and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like a lot of people are reserved about it. And one thing you write about that I really loved is with what a lot of my listeners and your audience do is it's not tangible. It's like you don't have this like document at the end or this like thing that you can see or hold. It's this like inner shift or this something that just super powerful but not holdable again. And you write about having to use smoke and mirrors to show that, and I like that how you what is it, it says using lavish smoke and mirrors in building up this public image. I love that. Can you talk some more about that?
Sure. So I've met so many like really brilliant practitioners of all kinds of things, astrology, hypnotism, spell casting, all various other things, who are so humble and so, their websites are so modest. And it is true that I use the example of the Wizard of Oz because, you know, you think about the actual wizard had this whole setup with like lights and like a holographic projection of a floating green head and smoke and mirrors and the whole show. And actually, when you look into the history of people who've been prominent esoteric practitioners, you find things not unlike the setup that the Wizard of Oz had, like Madame Blavatsky totally staged seances. She also founded the Theosophical Society, which is one of the world's foremost communities for Western esotericism. There's also, let's see, who else? Queen Elizabeth. I always think about Queen Elizabeth, who in my book, definitely a witch. I mean, she hung out with John Dee all the time, who was a alchemist and an astrologer. And Queen Elizabeth, there was like no way that she was actually going to be queen. Like she was the daughter of Anne Boleyn, who had been beheaded by her father, right? So she publicly witnessed her mother was murdered in public by her father. Like think about how much that would cost. So that happened to her and she was totally disenfranchised, and she, using the arts of self-presentation, she basically won the hearts of the British people. So she had paintings made of her depicting her as the fairy queen. And she had these paintings displayed in prominent places. She would dress whenever she went out anywhere as the fairy queen, as this like mythical figure from English, mythology. And later she associated herself with the Virgin Mary for like an extra power.
Because why not?
Why? Exactly. And it used to be that when you addressed a monarch, you would just say, "Oh, Your Majesty, we have something to tell you." Right. But Queen Elizabeth made it so whenever anybody addressed her, they had to address her in like the language of courtly love. So like, "Oh, my sovereign queen who melts my heart whenever I look in your direction and for whom all of the angels in heaven weep, would you please sign this document for me?" Through this, like through fashion, through representation of herself in art, through the way she had, language used, through the plays that she commissioned. Anyway, she succeeded in creating this whole aura around her that was superhuman. It was larger than life. And it was what people needed and wanted and what they resonated with and what allowed her to, she reigned over the greatest flourishing of art and science that Britain had seen in 1,000 years. Mm. So I think about things like this, and, Cleopatra likewise was using all sorts of tools of self-presentation. Shameless self-promotion is what was mm-hmm. key here. Marie Laveau. So the voodoo queen of New Orleans, Marie Laveau, was also doing things like this. She was a skilled diviner and magician. And she also was a hairdresser to New Orleans high society. And literally, people would let down their hair and start talking about the gossip and the secrets of what was going on. And she would listen. And then when she would have other clients that she would be doing divination for, she would give them this information that she had heard in the gossip and present it as if it was like mystical information drawn from the ether. And she gained this reputation for, you know, having this amazing psychic power, which she probably did also have amazing psychic power. Plus, she was really smart and knew the gossip. And that succeeded in, you know, she was then able to become the richest, one of the richest women in New Orleans and build all kinds of hospitals and, you know, charities for the poor and things like that. So anyways, yes, there's an element. And this is also what I mean about selecting the parts of your story. So there's parts of my story that I tell people and that they, you know, they get to know and feel me, these like sort of brutally gory, bloody places. But there's also been a selective editing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's also been, there's bits that are left out. There's like, there's some sleights of hand that are there. And that, you know. And I let you in on that as much as possible when you come into my courses and come into Thrill. I show you because I'm interested in having you be able to do your own sleights of hand. But point being, what I'm trying to say is that all, you know, quote, real magic or esoteric, you know, alchemical, internal transformation, spiritual transformation has had a long history of being associated with, you know, quote, stage magic, you know, cheap tricks. Mm-hmm. Hand in hand. And oftentimes the stage magic is necessary in order to get people into the receptive place where they can experience the real magic.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it pretty much always is. Like, unless somebody has deliberately like gone out on a pilgrimage to seek something, unless they're like completely dedicated and completely like already convinced that they need some sort of healing or some sort of magical help. If they're just sort of living their lives, they may need help, but they may not know it. And stage magic and self-promotion and all these various smokes and mirrors is what helps let people become receptive to what they do need.
Right. All these Jedi mind tricks are just helping you, your mind open its gateway. So, that, you know, the spirit, well, actually I'd be interested to hear what your ideas about, the spirit soul. And what was the third part?
The mercury, sulfur, and salt.
Mm-hmm, cause one big thing is like spirit versus soul. Everyone has a different definition. So maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit, but, you almost have to just play these games knowing that they're serving a higher purpose of allowing the mind to step aside and let that higher purpose come through. And you can have a good time while you do it.
Beautifully said, Natalie. Precise. It's fun and it is a game and it is like there's a lightness to it and a fun to it. And that's also something that I really want people to know, which is that you can have fun in this process and that it is a form of play and a form of art. And I consider it like, I was also talking in my emails about this, like a hypersigil, you know, like when you're building a presence for yourself online, you are presenting a version of yourself that, you know, is an edited, artistic, refined version, but gradually you tend to become that. Your mm-hmm. life tends to become that. And for those of you listening who may not be familiar, you know, of course, in magic, we have this idea of sigil making and people will draw sigils and charge them with intent. It's very popular in chaos magic in like the 70s, 80s, 90s. I still do it because I'm old school like that.
You're a 90s girl.
I'm a 90s girl. Yeah, exactly. And then a hyper sigil is like taking that to the next level. So a hyper sigil is an actual like large scale work of art that has a intent to change reality embedded within it. My favorite example is V for Vendetta by Alan Moore, which, mm-hmm. you know, the Guy Fawkes masks that V wore, you know, after, I guess, 20 years after Alan Moore published that, you know, became a very important part of the Occupy movement. Mm-hmm. And were wearing those Guy Fawkes masks, and they wouldn't have been doing that, and probably Anonymous wouldn't have existed in the way it exists if there had not been that inspiration that came from Alan Moore's V for Vendetta. And that was no accident. Like, Alan Moore is a hardcore magician who loves anarchy and social change and all of that stuff, and he created V for Vendetta as a hyper sigil that would change reality in those ways, and he succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously V for Vendetta is a comics book, a graphic novel, but the same principles can apply with websites, with emails, with, you know, social media.
With your outfits. I mean, with like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And think about like the Hood Witch. I feel like the Hood Witch has really done a great job at a persona, and her nails, you know, the pointy nails. Are you familiar with the Hood Witch?
You know what? I think I've seen a meme or two. The Hood Witch is...
You're not on Instagram, so that would make sense.
I should get on to Instagram. I am just so into words and not so good with images.
Oh my God, Instagram's an amazing writing platform.
Yeah, you know what? We should talk more about this, Natalie.
I'd be happy to. Maybe in our secret episode. For people listening are probably familiar with the Hood Witch, some of them at least, and she's, if I know a lot of people, anyone who's witchy has seen an image of these like pointed fingernails, you know, everyone gets these manicure jobs with these pointed fingernails with like, you know, dramatic paint jobs and maybe some gems on them or something, and that originated with her. She's just grown. She's a great, you know, check her out, people, check her out for another example of sigils of sorts and of creating the smoke and mirrors around this whole, what she does around magic. But I think what's really, 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 really important about this is, as you said, and I'm going to read just straight from your email because I love this, and this is something that I feel really strongly about, obviously, is if you don't build up yourself in some way, you don't have to build yourself up as like a like egotistical Trump. You can build yourself up however you want, however really suits you and your nature. But if you don't do that, and if you don't get your message out to people, then they don't get to benefit from your skills and you don't get paid. And that line, they don't get to benefit from your skills and you don't get paid, is so important. And that's straight from your email, Carolyn. But it's like, that's, you know, that's why it's so important. You got to get over your shit and just own it, that no matter what, if you want to have your business, you're going to have to put yourself out there. And like, here's a fun way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, precisely.
Oh, wow. Is there anything before we wrap up anything else you want to say about this ability to share oneself in this certain light? And about, I mean, I think we've covered quite a lot about how it's a spiritual evolutionary journey to do this, but it'll also help you get paid. So like, awesome. Is there anything else?
Anything else about it? Let's see. Well, yeah, just that I would say that, just sort of like I was beginning to touch on it, about how most people really, really need help. They really, really need the kind of help that magical folks have to offer. And we're so used to, you know, our culture offers quick fixes and distractions and entertainments. And when you take the time to create a beautiful presence, a beautiful story that people can resonate with and get involved with, you know, a beautiful Instagram that I haven't done, but you might be able to do that. Some kind of thing that really draws people in and gives them permission to like open up and start feeling these possibilities. That in itself is doing a gigantic service for them. So there's, you know, there's thousands of people who read my emails, magazines, who have never bought from me, who may never buy from me. And I'm still doing a service for them. And I'm, you know, I'm persuasively taking them closer to these very challenging, confronting, painful, difficult things. But, you know, I try to do it in a way it's like, you know, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Mm-hmm. Some razzle dazzle. So anyways, I guess just the point is,
can you call your course Razzle Dazzle?
Razzle Dazzle. Clear. Yes. Something like that. There's a huge element of doing a service for people when you put on that kind of show. There's a spiritual dimension to the show business, stage magic element of marketing and promoting.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in this world, you know, I like to talk on the show a lot about non-dual reality. I don't always use those words, but that's what we're essentially talking about from all these different angles. And I think if you're really truly into that, you got to step up and own the non-dual reality of like, hey, you got to eat, you got to make money. And that can fit into your perfect little spiritual life.
Certainly it can. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But I don't need to launch into a whole thing about that. But yes, I just completely agree with you, Natalie.
So I want to encourage, I asked you to come back on the show because I feel like what work you do is really, you are doing a great service to a lot of people who maybe have felt disenfranchised by the typical marketing means and who have felt really confused about how to like actually do practical magic. Like you're just amazing, like one-stop shop. And I really love the way you teach. So I just want to like tell my listeners, I'm going to give her this wholehearted full-on endorsement. I haven't taken Thrill, but I've taken Influence, and I love reading your emails. Like, sign up for Carolyn's emails, read them, love it. Go find those articles she wrote. Check out Bad Witches, do you still call it Bad Witches? I'm sorry that I don't know.
That's okay. That's still the web address. It's still badwitch.es.
Yes, that's what I thought. Okay.
Call it Witch Magazine. Yeah.
Yeah, Witch Magazine. I mean, if you're hungry for this kind of stuff, take a step into Carolyn's universe and you will find some sort of satiation and direction. And so when does Thrill, you open your course maybe once or twice a year or something, or I guess you're just letting it.
Just once a year.
Just once a year. Okay. And so, you know, maybe you're not ready this time, or maybe you want to check it out, or maybe you're ready, whatever. You have until what, Friday, May 26th, 12 a.m. I guess 11:59 p.m. midnight.
Yes, exactly. And if any of your listeners, you know, want to email me and ask me specific questions about it, since they're just hearing about it, that's totally cool. I guess we could give them my email address. And there's a registration page that has all the information and brass tack details about Thrill. And it's not a cheap course. Like, it's $1,000. It's five payments of $199. And also, it's a course that when you invest in it, it can give you a return of like, suddenly you're making $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 a year, because the possibilities are endless when you're reaching a large audience online. So I just felt like throwing that in there in case people feel a little bit of sticker shock, which I know I did the first time I contemplated taking a $1,000 course.
Great. And you have payment plans. And I'm not even affiliated. I'm just like saying this because people might be thinking, oh, is she selling the course? I'm not even selling the course. So cool. So then people can go. How can people find Thrill? Do you have an easy way for them to find Thrill?
Specifically, if people right now go to my website, badwitch.es, and sign up on the email list there, they will get emails letting them know about, you know,
doors closing.
They will get that on Friday, and they will get the link sent out to them again via that email list too.
Cool. So I think everyone has it. There they have it. Get on the email list, go check out her stuff and reach out to her, and you'll have a good time. So thanks, Carolyn, for coming on the show again and sharing all your good knowledge and wisdom and perspective on these matters.
Oh, thank you, Natalie. So lovely talking to you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're interested in getting a little more into some more special and maybe different topics, you can check out dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret for the secret episodes. And Carolyn and I recorded one today where we get into why she's been taking a break from magic for 90 days, and also on what's really interesting to her about alchemy and spagyrics right now. And there's also a bunch of other amazing, just juicy secret episodes from other guests. So go check them out. They're free. Sign up and get them. And also, if you want to check out the Thrill Course, which closes May 26th at midnight Eastern, you can go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/thrill or sign up for Carolyn's newsletter at badwitch.es, and you'll get the links from her emails as the course launch is closing. So there's a lot for you, a lot of options for you to move forward if this interests you. And until next time, I hope you have a very amazing, beautiful week.